We're going to read some scripture in a moment. The subject I've chosen for our teaching for the month of July is the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph. And I'm going to read you some verses from Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. So, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about his brothers. Now Israel, that is Jacob, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept this matter in mind. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem, so come, I am going to send you to them." And he did. I'm going to miss out a few verses and go on to the next part. When Joseph arrives with his brothers, the brothers say, "Here comes that dreamer." Verse 20 says, "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Let's throw him in this cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe. And verse 24, they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now that cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe into the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son for many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "in mourning will I go down to the grave to my son." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. So there's that first reading that we're sharing about the life of Joseph. A very well-known reading. Many of you will have seen the film or even the play of Joseph and his multicoloured dream coat. And so this is one of the most well-known stories from the Old Testament. But I want to just spend a few moments thinking about this story. Every family has its issues. And I don't know that you can see that picture there, but it's a picture of a mum and a son having what looks like a heated argument. We were thinking earlier of the pressures that lockdown has put many families in during the last few months. But even without this extraordinary time of being confined with our families, we all know that every family has its issues and its tensions to deal with. But the special tensions that I think Joseph's family, or rather Jacob's family, Jacob's the head of the family, the things that he had going on in his family, I guess every family is unique, but there were very special issues that Jacob's family faced. Now Jacob was renamed by God as Israel, so that's why we often get the name Israel in the reading rather than him being called Jacob, but it's the same person. So Jacob had some particular issues. He had a favorite son, Joseph, who was born in his old age, what sometimes gets called his dotage. So in his dotage, when he was drawing close to the end of his own life, this new little boy was born to him. And he was born to Jacob's favorite wife. And I suggest to you, there are two major problems. Don't have more than one wife. And if you do happen to have more than one wife, don't have a favorite. And if you do have a favorite wife of your wives, don't have a favorite child within that family. Because favoritism in a family is always a mistake. It's always a mistake. Each of our children may be very different. We should never have favorites in the family because it just causes tension, as we see in this reading. Also, we find that Joseph and his dreams of greatness, they also caused real problems and tensions. Joseph was a dreamer of a boy. I get the feeling that Joseph never had to do a solid day's work in his life. He wasn't out in the fields looking after the flocks. He was back home with his mum and dad. The only time he had to go out and work was when he had to go off and check on how his brothers were doing. And can't you just imagine every time Joseph appeared, here he is, he's come out to check how the workers are doing. But he's not a worker himself. And you can just imagine the tensions it must have caused. And then on top of all of that, he had these dreams. Now, I've learned there are some things you may think, but you don't say them. Because you know it's going to cause problems. And Joseph had this dream, and he was so insensitive to the tensions in his own family that he thought it would be a good idea to share them with everybody. And I think we can say that wasn't his best decision, sharing his dream. Well, not just his dream. When you've shared the first one, and it doesn't go down that well, when I'd had the second one, I think I'd have probably thought, you know what, I'll keep that one to myself. But not Joseph. No, I've had this even better dream. It's not just sheaves of wheat now, it's the sun and the moon that are bowing down before me. So, these are the two major problems I think that we can identify very easily in Jacob's family. Jacob's favoritism as a father, and Joseph's arrogance and his insensitivity to the rest of his family. Joseph's dreams caused jealousy, anger, and hurt, mainly to his brothers, but even to his father Jacob, when even he says, "What? Me, your father and your mother, we're going to bow down to you?" Nonetheless, when Jacob hears the tragic story from his other sons of what has happened to his favorite son, Joseph, and he sees the blood-soaked robe in verses 31 to 33 of the reading, he is devastated. Now I know there was a lot of provocation from Joseph, but what an awful thing to do to your father. Not just to take the robe, but to dip it in the blood of a goat, to give a strong indication to Jacob as to what has happened to his son, Joseph. And so that devastation, despite the fact that Jacob made lots of mistakes as a dad, it must have been horrendous to see that robe. So, Joseph, for all of his boasting, he's gone. He's been taken off by these Midianite traders. And it seems as though his dreams have gone with him. He was very nearly murdered by his brothers, but he was saved from death by one of them. By one brother pleading on behalf of the life of his perhaps undeserving brother, Joseph. So they sold him into slavery. And perhaps they thought that would be a clean break with their obnoxious dreamer of a brother. I find it interesting that we've heard quite a lot about slavery, modern day slavery, in our world in these days. And it's interesting that even this story that must be over 3,000 years since these events happened, this is still so current in our world today, that slavery is still a reality in our modern world. But I think these brothers, perhaps when they saw their father's grief and how he mourned and how he said, "I will go to my grave mourning for my son," I wonder whether their hearts must have been touched and their consciences must have been really pricked by what they had done. So like a piece of property, they sell off their brother, firstly to these Midianite merchants, but then of course they themselves sell him to this Egyptian pharaoh, pharaoh's official by the name of Potiphar. Let's think for a moment about the family's reaction to Joseph's apparent death. Apart from the grief of Jacob the father, we know little of how the rest of the brothers felt, although we can draw conclusions that perhaps they regretted this decision of selling off their brother. The interesting thing for me is, what do we know of Rachel, the mum? What did she feel? We know nothing. It seems as though a mother's grief wasn't even worth recording in the Bible narrative. But she must have felt every bit as much grief as the father. But it's not recorded for us. It seems as though even down through the centuries since then, many women's feelings in life have been denied and ignored, just as Rachel's were in this passage. And the Me Too movement in the last few years has helped us to realise that so often we have ignored the voices of women, young women, mothers, women in different circumstances. We have ignored their voices for too long. Going back to the brothers, later developments suggest that they carried around their sense of guilt and shame for many years. But despite this unpromising, treacherous start within this family, God has other plans for Joseph and for his family. There are going to be tough situations ahead and more family problems. But God will in the end demonstrate his love, his sovereignty, and his faithfulness through this flawed and fractured family. You, like me, may sometimes feel a bit like Joseph's family. None of our families are perfect. They all have their issues. We all have our secrets and our difficulties. You know, we often have an uncle or an aunt who's a bit difficult, and we have to sort of endure their behaviour or their words or whatever it is. We may feel a bit like Joseph's family in that way. I read this story about a lost dog this week. It was spotted in a lost and found section of a newspaper years ago. And it says, lost dog, £50 reward. It's a black and tan dog of poodle and German shepherd descent. It's flea bitten. Its left hind leg is missing. It has no hair on its rump. It's partly blind, and it's recently been neutered. And it answers to the name of Lucky. Well, some of us are a bit like Lucky, of mixed ancestry, of not much to look at, and in pretty bad shape as our families. But still, actually, we do answer to the name of Lucky, because we are actually fortunate, despite all the problems, despite any infirmities and any issues in our families. We still have someone who cares for us, just like the owner of that dog who cared enough for Lucky to put an advert in the paper. We have someone who cares enough about us to look for us, to seek and search for us, to want to reach us. And that is God. He is the one who reached out to each one of us and says, this person's not perfect, but I love them. Just as the owner of Lucky cared enough to put that advert out. That dog is Lucky, or was Lucky, and so are we. Lucky that we have a Lord and Saviour who reached out for each one of us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are reminded that no family is perfect. No person is perfect. And yet, we believe that we are perhaps we wouldn't use the word lucky, but we are blessed. We are blessed because you, Lord, chose to search for and find us. Your word tells us that while we were still sinners, you, Lord Jesus, died for us. You have pursued and found us. And Lord God, we thank you for your love that sought us out, even when we were so far from you. So Lord God, we thank you that we are blessed. And we pray that we will not only live in that blessing, but have the confidence to share the fact that we are lucky and blessed with our friends and neighbours and work colleagues and whoever else we might meet, that we are blessed by you because you sought and found us. Amen.